Lakani.
Oh, hey, what's up, Effie? Just ruined my delicious lunch.
Yeah, I saw you posting that Instagram pic of that freaking sandwich shop.
I was outside in my car, stuffing my face with this turkey sandwich, and I managed to get most of it all over the car.
Now, for some reason, when I picture you eating a giant hoagie, I picture you just pressing it all the way into your mouth with one finger, then swallowing it.
Pretty much how it goes. I know. It was actually like about 3 bites, but it was absolutely a gigantic sandwich. This is an old school deli, right? There's like a line of all these ass cracks, all these blue collar guys out the door.
Wow, giant schlong shaped hoagies and ass cracks. Sounds like your kind of place.
Sounds like San Francisco, yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and joining me as usual, my friends and still hungover Apple experts, Buster Heine. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
And Leander Kinney is here as well. Leander?
Hey, Erfan.
Did you guys have a good New Year's?
It got wild.
Yeah, actually, before we start, because I want to hear about that, I want to hear how wild it got, because I'm sure, especially Mr. Kinney, you probably enjoyed a few cocktails, yeah?
No. Nothing to drink. Nothing.
No, I don't believe that.
Went to bed at 10.
No.
Like an old man, yeah.
You just ruined this whole segment.
It was even worse. I went to stay at my mother's.
Mother! All right, well, before we talk about that, we have a brand new sponsor. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show. Squarespace is one of my favorite places on the web to host a website, and they have an amazingly easy-to-use drag-and-drop interface where you can drag videos, images, all sorts of web elements into a web page. You can create a website, a blog, very, very easy to use, and it's scalable. So if you create a website using their templates that they provide you, they're going to look good, but they're also going to look good on mobile devices like the iPhone, the iPad. That's kind of their special sauce. Check them out. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast, and they give you two freaks. A 2-week free trial, and it's absolutely free. They don't even ask for your credit card information. All you do is give them your email address, some other minor information, and they'll get you set up. And if you like the service, you can buy it, get 10% off your order with the code CULTCAST1. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about them later in the show. But before I do that, Buster, did you do anything crazy for New Year's Eve?
I mean, crazy.
Crazy for you.
I don't know.
You didn't spend the night at your mother's house.
I did not. I mean, I was out on the town until like 4 a.m. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. I rang in the new year. I had a few cocktails, played some Wii U with my friends. Have you guys played Wii U?
I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually really fun. And then we went to the Space Needle and watched the fireworks. It was a good time. Leander, I got to say I'm a little disappointed by your story.
Yeah, me too. I got a book due. It was actually due that day, the New Year's Eve. And so I stayed and worked. And then my wife threw a party at our house.
That you didn't go to?
So to avoid it, I went to stay at my mother's. She's like pissed at me. But at least I didn't have to hang out. And then I went back to work the next day.
Was your mother disappointed that you were at her house for New Year's? Did she call you a wanker?
No. She was fine. It actually turned out to be a big mistake, though, because it was like it's in a noisy part of town. There was fireworks going off and all these revelers. And I was tossing and turning until about 2 a.m, but no hangover.
Well, sticking to the holiday stories, since we just wrapped up with the holidays, I thought this would be a fun thing to talk about. So you guys have heard about Bill Gates only using Microsoft products in his house before, right?
Right.
So apparently for Christmas, his kids really wanted some iOS devices, I think like an iPad or an iPod or something. And I think they were a little disappointed when they went Christmas morning to open their gifts and opened up their presents and saw a bunch of Microsoft Surface tablets.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Bill Gates.
I'm just going to ask, so his wife was doing an interview recently and she was asked if her kids wanted any iOS products. And she was like, of course they did. But, our family made our fortune with Microsoft technology. So that's what we gave them. Leander, you have kids. Is that taking it a little too far? I mean, it kind of sounds to me like you'd only be allowing your kids to read Cult of Mac.
If you read Mac Rumors,
you're out of kids.
I know, exactly. It's like giving the kids coal. I mean, how cool can you get? They don't want it. How embarrassing. They go to school and all the other kids have got, you know, iPads and iPhones.
Yeah.
And they got some Surface tablet.
Oh my God. What is that? $700 Surface tablet.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing. Hey, you know, actually, I know where his kids go to school. I used to live, not joking, 100 feet from where his two youngest kids went to school. So I should go outside outside the school and heckle them. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that after the show today.
You got a Zoom.
I just think it's ridiculous. I mean,
poor little rich kids.
Not to mention, I mean, what is there to get excited about with a Surface if you're a kid? Like, one of the biggest features is that you can use Excel on it.
Yeah, right. And the keyboard.
The clicky keyboard. In future news, I've been arrested. Another holiday story, and this is actually one that I had some problems with yesterday. So you guys have probably noticed by now that the Do Not Disturb feature on your iPhone isn't working quite right.
Well, I don't actually use it because no one calls me, but
really, Buster, do you use it?
No, I never use it, but I know there's a problem with it.
Gosh, you guys are just making me crash and burn left and right. So I use it all the time. If you guys remember quite a few episodes ago, I used to complain that, when the UK, our UK listeners would tweet me at night, it would wake me up.
Right. Yeah.
Because my phone would beep or buzz and it's laying right next to my head at night. So at 4 a.m. all of our UK listeners are getting up. They are drinking their coffee, checking Twitter, and you know, trying to interact with me on Twitter, which is awesome, except when you're sound asleep. So the notification center has a bug in it, and I guess apparently, however the Apple developers programmed it, it doesn't know that it's a new year until this next coming Monday.
Right.
So it stays in... I guess Do Not Disturb mode unless you manually turn it off, which is what I had to do yesterday. Now, thankfully, I didn't have any alarms or anything set, but we're going to be dealing with this issue when we're at CES. And I'm not totally sure about this. Do alarms work when Do Not Disturb is turned on? I think they do.
Yes, they do. As long as it's not like a third-party app.
See, now that could be a major problem because, I mean, I use Apple's clock app for my alarm. But there are a lot of great, you know, alarm alternatives out there. In fact, at CES last year, I used a third-party clock app the entire time. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice, be warned, your alarm may not go off. In fact, what a great excuse to miss work.
Yeah, until next Monday.
You'd be like, didn't you hear the news?
Yeah. It was. What was the explanation, Buster, why it didn't work?
Well, they're instead of using like the Gregorian calendar, they're using the ISO system, which let me try and remember it. ISO basically it takes the it doesn't it's more used for like accounting purposes so that everything is clean. Like weeks always start on Monday, and so like a new year you want it to start on a Monday so that everything's always clean in your spreadsheets. And whoever designed the Do Not Disturb app, they use the ISO system rather than Gregorian calendars like we use every day. And what's funny is Apple's own support documents even say, like, you shouldn't be using this. But, you know, that same error.
You know, my favorite part about this is Apple's reaction. Everyone's complaining that their Do Not Disturb feature is not working. And Apple, they're just like, yeah, it's not working, but don't worry. It'll fix itself on Monday.
I don't think it's that big of an issue, really.
You know, it's probably not. I mean, it's obviously not for people that don't use it. But if you were relying on your iPhone to wake you up and you were not using a clock app, it could be really an annoying problem.
That's one day. Now you know it doesn't work, so just keep it off until this January 7th. No big deal.
I think Buster needs to go work for Apple's PR department.
I would.
Because that was verbatim their answer. Like, it's not a big deal. Shut up.
Yeah.
Move on. Go buy a Zune.
I'm sorry, Brooklyn Belted and Google and Apple Maps. We'll get fixed when we get to it.
And it is funny how it became big news. I mean, it was on the night, the TV news, it's all over the newspapers.
I didn't realize it was that big of a story. Goodness.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. Like Buster says, it's kind of like a, you know, a bit of a no deal, but.
Well, you know, but the news, they have to grab onto something. It's a slow news cycle right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like anything that comes out is going to be freaking top news.
But I think that's also this kind of meme as well. Like, you know, sort of punning on Apple because Maps. And now, you know, editors, you know, all the schadenfreude that, you know, love to see things going wrong. And it fits this narrative that Apple's not the same without Steve Jobs.
Yeah, people just love that.
Yeah, no, that's actually an excellent point because that's very true. Anytime anything even minor happens with Apple, everyone
they're like, oh my God, Steve would never.
Oh my, yeah, that would never happen with Steve Jobs here.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. A lot of crap happened when Steve was there too. Well, hey, let's talk about CES. The Consumer Electronics Show is coming up next week. I am going.
Oh,
are you going?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Leander, you're going too, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing. We're all on the same page.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Like it's not like we work for the same company or anything. No,
I'm not sure where I'm staying yet, but I'm going to get that figured out.
I think we're staying in that. Did you see that documentary, The Queen of Versailles?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
About the timeshare sleaze bag that lost
Are we staying in one of theirs?
Yeah, well, it might be. I don't know. Tracy said it wasn't, but I kind of think it is because he lost the bankers took it over and it's on the strip.
Isn't it?
It might be that place.
I thought we're staying near Planet Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Don't say the name of the hotel. Don't say
I didn't
it. We're going to be mobbed by
Planet
fans.
Planet Hollywood.
We'll be mobbed by three or four fans that show up. There won't be many, but they'll be strong. So we got to make sure.
There's an awesome casino right on the strip there that does all that beer pong. It's the most drunken place on the strip.
Oh, I was hoping we were going to stay next to that place that served like the 2-foot-long wieners that cost like 85 cents.
Ugh.
Ooh, I want to go there.
That's the best place to eat when you've had a few of the old ales. Get me, Governor.
I'm only eating at the fancy buffets.
Oh yeah, cool. I'm going to hide in your jacket. We can get in for half price. So guys, we are all going to be at CES, obviously. It's going to be an exciting time, as it always is, because it's basically just parties and then a little bit of writing, right, Leander?
I don't know.
Well, for you, sorry, it's different for us. I'm sorry, I was describing your experience. We're actually going to be working.
Yeah, exactly, just like my New Year's Eve.
Leander's going to have a 7-day New Year's Eve at CES, where the drinks are free everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You know, can we talk for a minute, though, about what it's like being press at CES? Because it's kind of an interesting experience, don't you think? I mean, you're kind of treated like royalty the entire time you're there.
Oh, yeah, as you should be.
As you should be in everyday life, but finally we get to a place where it happens.
Yeah, yeah, right. I know. They put on these lavish parties. There's always tons of, you know, really good food, all the drinks you can drink for free.
Yeah.
They give you loads of, like, there's lots of freebies handed out, lots of swag.
Oh, tons of swag. And I mean, all these people are trying to get press, right? And we end up going to these events, which are actually cool because they have these huge, huge, huge ballrooms and they fill them with, you know, companies trying to get press for their products. So you get to see all the newest, coolest gear all in one room. But yeah, they are kind of trying to push those drinks on you, right? And you eat as many meatballs as possible so you'll be in a good mood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. No, it totally works. It's a great way to see it. It's a great way to see a lot of, you know, stuff that people are coming up with. And then the iLounge this year, although we won't mention the name of that other website that sponsors it.
Yeah, hey, good call.
I thought you just mentioned it in the name.
What? No, spelled differently.
Little joke, English humor.
Well, that's where I'm going to be. Sorry, Buster, go ahead.
Nothing.
I'm going to be doing videos this year, so you'll actually get to see my face if you've seen any of those videos. And
your CES Tash.
Yeah, the CES Dash. I have it. It's getting kind of long, actually. I'm going to have to trim it. But I'll be looking for the newest, coolest products. Probably I'll be concentrating on the iLounge. So for those of you who have never been to CES, it is just more massive than you would believe. I mean, it would take you more than a day just to walk around all of it, probably 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And the iLounge is this area that, I mean, for lack of a better way to describe it, it's just full of iOS accessories, right, Leander? I mean, it's just like iPhone stuff.
Yeah, right.
iPod stuff.
Yeah, iPhone, iPod, iPad. It's where they concentrate all of the Apple developers. But what's interesting is, you know, a few years ago, this wasn't an Apple show at all.
Yes, I was actually going to bring that up. And then the iLounge started, which is kind of like an aggregate area of things that are all things Apple. And it's getting huge now, right? I mean, it's like a majority of the North Hall now.
Yeah, right. And it's well, I don't know about a majority. I'd say it's about a third or a half.
I think it's like 98%. Yeah, there's a few cars there.
They had a bunch of big cars down there, and they had a whole bunch of like weird, industry to industry stuff.
Yeah,
Chinese the supply chain.
Yes, they do have a lot of that stuff in there.
And they had imaging equipment. I mean, it's like it's a huge monster show, and they have every kind of electronics that you can imagine. The cars are like interesting. That was because that's new too. I mean, they didn't have a lot of car manufacturers until. A couple of years ago and last year, especially, I think, like car manufacturers are seeing the car as the next place to put
iPhone dock.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they are kind of becoming like that.
Well, it would be interesting. The iLounge is going to be fun this year because, I mean, it's generally, like we said, iOS accessories. But with the iPhone 5, there's going to be a lot of new stuff, I think, because we have the new adapter. So it's going to be interesting to see what's there because last year, I mean, the iLounge is cool, but it's a lot of crap. It's a lot of cases, and as you said, it's like Asian manufacturers looking for people to buy like thousands of their units and resell them. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what they have this year.
Last year was the iPad case with the handle on the back, the integrated carrying handle. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't even see that.
There was about a dozen different manufacturers. That was one of the big trends of iLounge last year. Not very exciting, man. I'm afraid.
Well, speaking of trends, do you guys have anything you're excited to see or think that is going to be a big trend at CES this year, Leander? Since you're talking about trends.
Well, yeah, the dock connector. This is a huge change, and this is a Christmas present for the accessory manufacturers because suddenly everyone there's going to be huge churn. I mean, everyone's going to be updating their accessories over the next couple of years. And so there's going to be a whole bunch of like dock accessories, and then of course AirPlay's coming in. AirPlay's getting more and more popular, which does away with the dock, but charging cables and charging docks, charging accessories. There's gonna be a whole bunch of AirPlay stuff,
and there's probably gonna be a ton of camera equipment too, like camera accessories too, since none of them work on the iPhones anymore. They all have to be updated.
Yeah.
I hope you're right about the AirPlay stuff, because last year there was a lot of Bluetooth stuff, but not a lot of AirPlay stuff. I mean, iHome had some stuff. There were a couple of other companies that had like really expensive options, but there was nothing really there that was cool and exciting. And this year I'm really hoping to see a ton of AirPlay stuff, because if you've never used an AirPlay speaker, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so, AirPlay speakers are always going to be expensive, though, just because it's Apple standard,
Yeah.
Well, they didn't seem to be licensing it either, did they? Yeah. Are they licensed to anyone else, Buster?
Is AirPlay?
Is Apple licensing it to other?
Oh yeah, lots of
manufacturers.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a Libertone, a couple speakers.
What I mean is, can other devices like Android, for example?
I don't think so.
I think that's kind of
Android has to go through Bluetooth.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting point, right? Because Apple could make a huge sum of money if they licensed it to Android.
Well, I don't know about huge, but they could definitely. I mean, they would cement that in that space. I mean, they would make AirPlay a standard.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't care about making something a standard,
Well, they have done in the past. I mean, QuickTime they pushed for a long time.
I mean, they did FireWire for a bit.
Yeah, right, for camera manufacturers. No, I mean, they have a long history of it, but they were always like, they were sort of, they didn't dominate like they do now. I mean, yeah. It is a standard now, right? Because, they have a majority of the market.
Right.
Well, the other thing I'm really excited to see is the new television. So the next standard in television looks to be like it's going to be 4K, which are these incredibly high resolution televisions. They had, I think I saw maybe like five or six last year. And the image quality on these things, you would not believe. They are hyper realistic, almost too much so. Yeah. I remember they were showing some medium format images on these screens last year, and you could see like the hairs on the woman's face and like her like fuzz mustache and stuff.
Yeah. Stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I was like, I might stick with 1080p.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's been another problem with movies is some of the one like The Hobbit.
See it?
I saw it, but I didn't see it in 48 frames per second, the 3D. And I heard people say that it was almost too real and it looked like it was fake.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I didn't get to see it that format either.
But you guys saw the movie, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really?
No, okay, we can't talk about this now. Maybe after the show. Leander, you saw it?
No, hell no. I mean,
Leander, it's like quintessentially British. Like,
yeah, I was just going to say it. Like, practically takes place in the UK.
Well, they filmed it in New Zealand, which is a travesty. I mean, it doesn't look anything like, you know, where Tolkien said it, which is near where I grew up in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Mordor was well, actually, that was Lord of the Rings, but you know, that, and the Shires. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Shropshire, so that's based on that. But I don't know; it just looks like, you know, they dragged what is a pretty, you know, slim book into three movies, and they've this.
I won't get into it. Never
okay,
mind.
Yeah, we should talk about this after the show. Hey, let's talk a little bit more about Squarespace. I'm really excited to have Squarespace as a sponsor because I've been a big fan of their service for a while. And they also serve absolutely fantastic food at South by Southwest, but that's a different story. So let me tell you about Squarespace. They're one of the premier web hosts on the internet, and they've got a lot of special sauce, as I like to say, because they make building a website super duper easy. This one time I was looking for photo website designs, and I stumbled across this photographer, and she had a really beautiful gallery of all these different images that she had taken. And I contacted her, and I was like, how did you build this? And she said that she had used Squarespace, and I was actually really surprised. So I had played it with it. This is like a year ago, and I was really surprised at how easy it was to build a website really quickly using their templates and their drag-and-drop tools. You don't have to touch any code. Which is how I like to do things. But if you'd like to, you can. You could dive into all the code. They're just like a regular web host in that regard. And, you know, change all the CSS, mess with HTML, whatever you'd like to do. But if you use one of their templates, as I mentioned earlier, your website automatically gets rescaled. They do a bunch of magic on the back end so that your website looks good on mobile devices, which is great, right? Because a lot of times, you know, people are looking at your website from their iPhone, and it might look really good when they look on their MacBook Pro, but then it looks like shite. When they use their iPhone. You don't want to have that image, right, Leander?
No. And it's true, it does. They look really bad. I mean, we just updated our website to Retina. And,
oh, you did?
It's a huge difference, yeah.
Yeah, and the Cultamac website, mobile website, looks great now, but we had some complaints before. We should have been using Squarespace.
Yeah, I know. If only we'd known.
But you can drag and drop all sorts of stuff into your website or blog. Images, videos, audio clips, and then also your website, they have all these little widgets that you can use to connect them to your social network, so Facebook, Twitter, all the other ones that are out there that I can't remember the name of because I'm brain farting. But super easy to use. I definitely recommend their service. Check them out. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast and sign up for the free trial. As I said, you only have to give them an email address, a little bit of other information, no credit card information or anything like that. It probably takes about 2 minutes to sign up. And then here's where we come in. If you decide that you like it and you can use the code cultcast1, that's the numeral one, don't spell it out, you will get 10% off your order. Now, that means you can order a month of service. You can order a whole year of service, which I think they give you 20% off of if you do that. And then you can get an additional 10% off by using that discount code. So definitely recommend that you check them out. And I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. I love having great sponsors like Squarespace.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Your enthusiasm is contagious.
Well, those drag and drop, you know, web builders are awesome. I haven't used Squarespace, but I've used some other ones, and they definitely are really, really good. I mean, if anyone's ever set up like a WordPress site or WordPress site on their own manually, or in fact any other kind of, you know, website, it's a huge headache, and these drag and drop tools work really well. They take a lot of the pain out of it.
Yeah, they do. And as I said before, I was really surprised that this photographer, who doesn't know how to code, by the way, and she wanted to charge me for doing this like Squarespace design stuff. And I was like, oh, really? Oh man, once I found out she used Squarespace, I'm like, I can do that. I don't need you to do it for me. I was like, I thought you coded all this by hand.
She sounds like a smart cookie.
Yeah, she's trying to rip me off. Not going to happen. Hey, let's talk a little bit about iPhone 6 and iOS 7. Buster, I'm going to go to you on this because there's a lot to say here. So apparently some developers have some logs out there that show that Apple has been testing the iPhone 6 and iOS 7. What else do we know, Buster?
Just that.
I was setting you up for that. Yes. That's literally all we know. I think it's funny that I've been reading a lot about this, and it's funny. It's fun to watch people spin this in different ways. It's like, of course they're testing it. We're probably going to see iOS 7 in like 6 months.
Well, what's interesting about it isn't that they're testing it. It's that last year, iOS 6 didn't start showing up in weblogs until about a month before it was released. So it's showing up a lot earlier than people anticipated. That's the interesting thing, is how early it's happening, not that it's happening. I mean, duh, of course Apple's working on the iPhone 6 and even the iPhone 7 and testing both of them, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it's pretty early that they're already testing it.
Well, any speculation on why they're testing it so early? Any ideas?
I mean, there's rampant speculation that's, you know, just total pulling stuff out of people's butt.
That's the kind I like.
I mean, I like that too. It's pleasurable. And it's fun for the whole family. But there's been, you know, there was reports that Apple's cut back their orders for iPhone part orders. So uh-huh. Some people have been like, oh, I wonder if it's because they might be releasing the next iPhone a little bit sooner, coming back to like a summer release rather than the fall, now that they've given people on their Verizon contracts, you know, 2 years time and stuff. So, I mean, it could be that, but who knows? I mean, at this point, it's impossible to tell.
I also heard a rumor that Apple is interested in buying the social maps company Waze. And I know you wrote an article about this, Buster, but let me just say before we talk about the purchase, when I had all those problems with the Apple Maps app taking me onto a freeway when I was trying to get to a building several episodes ago, I asked my Twitter followers, I was like, hey, what do you guys use? Because I'm looking for something different. And actually a lot of people suggested Waze. So I started, and that's W-A-Z-E. And I started using it. It's a social mapping app that when people have it running, they can like alert you of like traffic stops or like cars that are stalled. So it kind of helps you avoid slow situations in traffic. So I gave it a shot. It's a really nice app. Do you guys use it?
Yeah, I used to use Waze a lot when I had to commute, you know, 45 minutes to Scottsdale every day.
Okay. And it's free.
Yeah, it is free. And it is good for finding out like the fastest route to some place based on, you know, if there's an accident or bad traffic that day.
Well, it does social traffic, right? It takes input, and it does it in real time.
Yeah, exactly. So you're supposed to keep it running whenever you're driving.
And if you see the cop, you can report it. If you see, like, even if you see an object on in the middle of the road, you report it.
Like, hey, zombie, I saw a zombie. Actually, I should report that. That'd be really funny.
And you can chat other people, you know.
Because that sounds
other,
safe.
Other ways. Yeah, it's like, I think the app locks up when you're driving or something and it says, are you the passenger? Yes. So.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
But doesn't Apple's app do some of that too? Doesn't Maps do that?
That's what I've heard, is some people saying, oh, like Apple Maps does like the traffic data in the background. I don't know if that's true. And that's the only feature that I think would be worth Apple acquiring, is, you know, having tens of millions of iPhones on the roads in the U.S. giving back real live traffic data.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's useful.
Well, that's what makes Google Maps so useful, is because they're getting a lot of data from their cars that go out and do the street view.
Right. Only so many street view cars, you know, on the road right now.
Right. But there was Alexis Madrigal at the Atlanta did a pretty good, you know, he went and visited them and he did a pretty good story about that. I mean, they're getting a lot of that, a lot of Google Maps is assembled sort of manually or by hand. You know, it's not, they do a lot of tweaking. They have a pretty big team.
Yeah. His story was awesome. It was one of the best stories last year.
Yeah.
It was fascinating to see how much manpower they put into the street views and everything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Brownlee just put up a story. Apparently this is all complete.
Yeah, it's bunk.
Baloney. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Which we said yesterday that it just didn't make a lot of sense. Because
you did say that.
Apple doesn't need to acquire Waze for data. They have enough users to get just as much data as Waze. The only reason they would is, I think, for that social aspect of the maps. But
yeah. Yeah, well, Waze interface is really nice too.
It's not nicer than Apple Maps, though.
I don't think the navigations are as nice as Apple Maps, for sure. I think Apple Maps is the like, as far as UI goes, in my opinion, they have the best UI that's out there. It's beautiful.
And Waze?
Apple Maps. No, Apple Maps. you know, like the transitions in Apple Maps, it's like, it's all very fluid. And even on Waze, it's like very choppy. It's like chick, 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 chick as you're going around the corner, you know, and it never knows what direction you're pointing.
Well, I'm going to get this shut down. They got these ridiculous little icons. It looks like a.
It's just so cartoony and kiddish, you know?
Waze is?
Yeah, that was my biggest problem with it. It was just like too cartoony for me to really want to interact with every day. Like it's something that my 2-year-old
hey, kids.
Yeah, the Apple interface is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's great to watch the 3D display as you drive around and the way it changes.
This is why I was excited about this, even though it sounded like, you know, it wasn't necessarily true at all. Because having Waze, the social and the data aspect brought into Apple Maps just seemed like a perfect solution. Because Apple says they're doing the data collection in the background, but there's this road that has been closed for months now in downtown Seattle. It is one of the most major roads in downtown Seattle, and the Apple Maps doesn't know that the road's closed, and it keeps trying to take you on it. And every time I go downtown, it keeps trying to make you have this take this left-hand turn. I'm like, that turn no longer exists.
Well, maybe it doesn't know that it's closed because people haven't been going down that road and reporting it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's the road right when you come off the freeway on-ramp. Probably hundreds of thousands of cars use this every day. Like...
And the fact that there's no cars going down it might tell Apple.
Like, I guess in my mind, I'm like, how do they not know that that's not closed? Because I finally booted up Google Maps, and it was like, do not use this road. It's closed until March or May, and it gave me a date. Huh. And I was like, what the heck?
Well, I used Apple Maps last week to go down to Silicon Valley, and there was a big accident on 101, and it routed me around it, you know, so it knows about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And in fact, there was two accidents, I'm sorry, so it routed me around it, then back onto it, and then around another one. So I was like, huh, you know, they've got real-time traffic data in here.
I used Apple Maps during the holidays when I was in Salt Lake City, and I actually really liked the navigation better than Google Maps, so...
Oh, me too.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, me too. I love it. After that bad experience I had with it, I just feel like I can never trust it again. It's like it cheated on me.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm like, I love you, but
are
you
hard to get that trust back?
Yeah, are you going
to
mislead me again? Because that was probably. You really hurt my feelings. Hey, let's wrap up with this, guys. I thought this was fascinating. So you guys know those Samsung ads that they always play, and it's like showing how people waiting in line for the iPhone or like grandparents, right? And they're totally uncool. You guys know which ads I'm talking about?
Yeah, right.
The media grabbed onto these ads and we're like, oh, you know, like, is Samsung the new cool device? They're really handing it to Apple. And my opinion has always been those ads are so fake. They are definitely not true. Like, it's just Apple trying to – or Samsung trying to spin their devices as cool. So I read this study recently that I thought was really enlightening. This was reported by Read Write, and it was a Forrester research report. And they found in their study that actually the majority of people who own iPhones are young, in fact, and are not old. And they broke them down into different generations. So they said 29% of Generation Yers, which I think is between 24 and 32. So
younger. That's between like my age and like 15.
No, are you sure? Because
would be like the current young generation.
Okay, so maybe it changes because they're defining it as 24 to 32. Boys. But in any case, they're saying that 29% of 24 to 32 year olds own an iPhone. Okay, the next biggest group is Generation Z, which is even younger. They're at 24%. And then Generation X, which is like probably like 33 to like what, 45 or something?
Yeah.
They're at 24%. Now here's where it gets interesting. So they say iPhone adoption drops off dramatically after Generation X. Young boomers, so there's the baby boom generation, right? Like the World War II generation. Well, actually, no.
What?
That would be a little too old. You know, like the people that, you know, fought in the Civil War, like they don't use iPhones at all. I just want you guys to know that. they're way more into Android devices. So young boomers, which would be like Buster, our parents' age, older than Leander, but not by much. They are just 11% of the just 11% of that generation uses iPhones, and then older boomers, so probably people like mid 60s, are only 9%, and then the golden generation, people who are, you know, getting ready to leave this life.
Senior citizens.
Senior citizens. They're only at 6%. So basically, to me, you guys tell me what you think. This pretty much proves that those Samsung ads are total horse shite. Leander?
Well, yeah, I mean, we knew that anyway.
But did we? Because I always hear, in fact, somebody on Twitter the other day was like, dude, what do you think about those Samsung ads? Like they're totally giving it to Apple. And I was like, really? Like, do you really think that they are?
Who believes what they'd seen in an ad? I mean, my God. My kids, you know, my daughter got a hand-me-down iPhone, and she's at school after the holidays. She's kind of like, you know, my wife was worried that it was going to be embarrassing because she's going to be showing off this iPhone at school, you know, when the other kids rub their noses in it. Anyway, they all pull out these brand new spanky iPhone 5s. I mean, so many kids we know, so many of our friends got iPhone 5s over the holidays. It's embarrassing. I mean, they've all got them. And it goes down even to middle school, too. I mean, the middle school kids. And these are in, you know, public school here in the city. So this isn't, you know, they're not, we don't send the kids to private school. So they're not, you know, these are regular, this is, you know, regular San Francisco, middle class, working class people.
How old are these kids?
Well, Nadine is 16. And then.
And she has an iPhone 5?
No. She has a hand-me-down.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
She had an iPhone 3GS, but she my wife had already wrecked it, but then she wrecked it a bit more. So we actually did go get her an iPhone 4, but that was a penny, you know, with a new contract.
Okay. Wow, so, is that cheap now?
Yeah. But that, you know, but at the point where, I mean, you know, and this is why it's embarrassing for Bill Gates' kids, because, you know, the brand they want is the iPhone, and they want the iPhone 5 too. I mean, she was the one who was embarrassed that she had an older iPhone 4. Yeah.
See, this is the part about those commercials that annoy me, is they always show like iPhone owners as like these grandparents or people that are like uncool. And it's like everyone knows the iPhone is still, I mean, one of the coolest products out there. At least I think it is. And I don't know very many people that have Samsung devices. Not very many of my friends have them. In fact, I only have one friend that owns a Samsung Galaxy, you know, phone. And it's cool. She really likes it a lot. But, you know, when we go to these tech events, like, how many guys there have Android phones?
You know, all the Android bloggers.
They're those dorky guys wearing those green Android hats.
Yeah, but some of them have iPhones.
Well, we saw a bunch in Europe when we were in Europe in the summer. Especially the big screen ones. I mean, I guess I noticed those ones because they're so huge that they're hard to miss. Yeah.
I think that's the Galaxy Note or the Galaxy Note 2.
When you see a bunch of hip young things, you know, sitting around a table in a bar or a restaurant, you know, and everyone's got their phone on the on the table. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I only see iPhones and iPhone 5s.
Well, that's my point. I mean, it is very anecdotal, obviously. Like, we haven't done a study, but Forrester Research did. It's like, here's the proof, Samsung. Well,
right, so the iPhone 5 is the phone that someone goes out to get, right? You know, they know what they want. They want to get the iPhone 5, and the thing that puts them off maybe is the price or the contract.
Yeah.
You know, and the most Android phones are the ones that, you know, they get offered with it when they go in and get a new contract or when they're renewing, and you know they choose between a couple of other handsets. They're not. I don't think people are going out. Maybe the Samsung is it. Some of the newer Samsungs are the exception to that.
Like the Galaxy S3, I've actually had a few friends who are like, oh, I want to get an S3 instead of an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever, that's cool. But yeah, for any of my friends that are like getting a new phone, moving from a dumb phone to a smartphone, they're always like debating whether or not they should get an iPhone. And it usually comes down to just like, oh, do I want to pay $200 for a phone? It's usually a price thing, not like, is it cool or is it not, you know?
Yes, exactly. I feel like a lot of people I know that get Android phones are like, oh, it was free.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the one I got.
my company paid for this.
Yeah, exactly.
I have like one friend who's like, I want a Nokia Lumia 920. And a lot of people laughed.
Well, actually, we're talking about the Nokia. Jose here, we wanted to get a Nokia.
Did you fire him on the spot?
No.
Throw him out by his hindquarters?
I felt sorry for him.
You just petted his head and looked disappointed?
Well, you know, it looks kind of cool. I checked out that video. Did you see the head, the finished note, the design, the one with the weird accent? You can't tell where he's from. He's totally like an alien. He's just like somebody from, like, you know, from Star Trek.
No, but please keep describing him. I like this.
He gave a tour of it, and actually it kind of made it look kind of cool.
You mean the Lumia?
Yeah.
I can never say that
word,
by the way.
Physically, yeah. The Lumia looks cool. I just am a little bit worried about switching over to Windows Phone 8.
Yeah, that's actually more my thing. So I actually met a guy that owned one of those Lumias, and he let me hold it after I asked. And it's actually a really nice phone when you hold it. The screen is beautiful, and it's much larger in real life than it looks when you see it on the internet. I mean, it fills my whole hand, and I have giant man claws, as you know, Leander.
No, I do not know. They have never been caught.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you have. Come on.
I don't remember.
it's a really nice device, but like you, Buster, I'm really turned off by the Windows 8 interface. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, and I think Nokia is making some really cool phones. Like,
yeah,
they actually look unique. You know, it's like iPhone, and then like the Lumia lines are actually the only two phones that actually have great design. The Samsung ones are just ripoffs, and you know, LG nobody cares about.
HTC,
Well, they're really in trouble, aren't they? HTC.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Which,
but
actually, that's not true. HTC actually did make a cool. Didn't they make the? I think they made the 8X or something like that, and it actually doesn't look too bad. But it's
I've
still
never even heard of such a thing.
All right, never mind.
Hey, we should wrap up. Before we do, I just wanted to let you guys know that I recently had someone ask me to give them a file on a zip disk. I thought I'd just put that out there before we closed.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, I need to get these files from you. I was like, oh, okay, well, how do you want me to give them to you? She's like, can you just put them on a zip disk? And I was like, okay, lady, let me build
the
time
47
machine.
Was she 47 or something?
I think she was older.
So, right.
I don't know why I thought that was necessary to close the show with, but do with that what you will.
You can hold so many terabytes on it.
Yeah, I think you can hold like 40. It's insane. We are going to be at CES, as I mentioned. We're going to be doing a greet up. We're not sure where we're going to do it. It's going to be a very informal thing. We'll probably just announce a bar and have you guys come meet us. All three of you men that listen, that will be there.
There'll be seven of us. It'll be
there's going to be more of us than there will be of you. That's for sure. I'll have John Brownlee rub his mustache all over your face. That thing's 12 feet long.
Dear, oh dear.
So make sure that you're following Cult of Mac on Twitter, Cult of Mac, and follow me at Erfon, Erfon, L Caney, Khney, and Buster, BST3, BST3R.
There we go.
Because we're going to be announcing it probably the same day that we're going to do it, because we're not exactly sure what's going to be happening. So make sure
2 minutes before it happens.
Probably literally 2 minutes. We'll be on our fourth beer, and we'll be like, hey, we should do that greet up. Let's do it real fast. Okay, well, that's it. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Squarespace for making this show possible. Please check them out, squarespace.com/cultcast. And remember that discount code is cultcast1. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Hey, remember, you can interact with us on our Facebook page as well. That's just facebook.com/thecultcast. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. You guys want to talk about The Hobbit real fast?
Not really, no. Did you really go see it, Buster?
Yeah, I saw it.
Are you kidding me? Why would he not see it? Why would you
Unless
not
you got
see
some kid to go take, why would you go see a kid's movie?
Well, it is very kid oriented, especially with all the dwarves looking so ridiculous compared to like Gimli in the last one, you know? Plus there's, you know, they just put shit in there just to fill time. Like you were talking about, it's a really short children's book. So they have like access to like some lore, and then they decided to just make shit up. Like, oh, let's have Radagast, who never appears in, you know, The Hobbit. Let's have him like freaking riding a sleigh bunny thing car.
Okay, no spoilers, no spoilers.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's your own fault. Come on.
Okay, yeah, so spoiler alert. We might talk about some of the actual plot.
Who did you say? So, you know, the one thing I would like to see is that 48 frames per second. Because, you know, I was fiddling with my settings on my we got the Samsung flat screen TV, and it's always had the store settings.
Yeah.
So the thing, you know, actually hurts your eyes when you're sitting there in the living room watching it.
Because it's so bright.
Yeah, and I read this thing. There was this thing before the holidays about putting it on movie settings and changing it, putting it on the movies mode, you know, so you can watch it properly.
Uh-huh.
And I turned it on, and it just looks dark and murky. And, yeah, you know, it's probably more realistic. But I'd gotten so used to it being turned up to this horrific, you know, super detailed, oversaturated picture that anything else just looks horrible. So I was kind of looking forward to seeing that and seeing whether I liked it or not.
Well, I mean, when I went to the movie theater, I asked the guy, I was like, hey, what movie should I see this in, 2D or 3D? And he was like, well, sir, he was like, I would definitely see it in 2D because that was my teenage impression.
Oh, I thought it was one of the characters.
Hey, guy. Excuse me, sir. That was my zitty teenager impression. Sorry. He was like, you should definitely see it in 2D because I've had people tell me that after seeing it in 3D that it just looks like you're watching a play.
Huh.
Yeah, that's all right.
Super fake.
That too.
Huh. That sounds kind of interesting, though. Maybe I'll go see it just for that.
But you don't really want to see the actual movie itself?
I started reading the book again, and like, you know, Tolkien is just kind of, he's the worst.
Isn't he a boring writer?
Oh, terrible. Yeah, he's really, really bad. He was a pallid of face.
I can never get into his beard.
Yeah, it's dreadful. And The Lord of the Rings is even worse. And, you know, the one saving grace of The Hobbit is it's a pretty short book.
Right.
You can read it in a couple of sittings. And I've just been reading a few pages at night to send me to sleep. And it's the writing is terrible. But, you know, there's a certain charm to it. You know, it's like I quite like the mix of the mythology. And
I love it.
His drawings.
You didn't like the movies either?
Oh, no. I mean, I had the misfortune to catch some of it on TV the other night, too, and it was just dreadful.
You don't like fantasy, though.
Well, this one, I got the one where, no, I hate fantasy, usually.
Actually, well, there you go. I mean, like, I love fantasy, so I loved it.
I watched Game of Thrones, and I thought that was really good.
Oh, you did like that. Yeah, Game of Thrones was really good.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's more like, there's not a lot of fantasy in that. And in fact, the fantasy element seemed ridiculous and kind of out of place. But they
in
played
Game of Thrones?
Well, no, it does, season.
Because it's not like a magical world, and then they'll throw in dragons and sorcerers and stuff like that, and it's like, what the hell? Where did that come from?
Well, they downplayed it in the first season. There was hardly any of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're building up to that.
And that's the way it goes in the book the whole time, is it like it kind of slowly builds towards, you know, some magical elements where, you know, these guys get these, you know, powers and stuff like
Wait,
that.
Wait, are we talking about Lord of the Rings, or are we talking about Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. What was good about Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones was like The Wire, right? It was like, it was just like the, it was sort of, you know, a lot of cast of characters. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of gamesmanship. You know, it's really about politics.
There's a lot of gaming of thrones.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the Game of Thrones is who can get to the, you know, be the king. Yeah.
Dude, you know, I when we did our end of days faves and raves, and I brought up Walking Dead, I totally didn't even think about Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was one of my favorite things of 2012.
It
Wait,
was
no,
good.
That was 2011. Never mind. The first series of or of HBO shows, right? 2011.
No, they just finished it, you know, a couple months ago. The third season starts.
Oh, you're
up
right. That was 2012.
March.
Yeah. So, and are you reading the books, Buster?
Yeah, I read all. I read most of them. I skipped like two of them.
Oh, that's right.
John told me I just skipped those ones and go to the fifth one.
Oh, really? Skipped a couple of the middle?
Yeah, it's like
I don't know how you do that.
Some weird crap, and he gets boring with like some stupid characters that aren't even important.
Huh.
But anyway.
But you know they're gonna have some dragons heading up sometime soon. Don't tell me. Actually, never mind. I'm only on the second book, so don't. Actually, you didn't even read it. Never mind.
No, I read the second book.
Okay, don't tell me anything. Yeah, don't tell me anything. I remember one time you and freaking Alex were having some kind of discussion via text. Was it Batman? And he told you like how one of the movies ended, and I was in on that thread. And I thought you were joking until I saw the movie, and I was like, those bastards.
Spoiler alert.
That's my favorite thing to do with Alex, is tell him the ending for a movie that he's about to go see.
Well, I was watching it, yeah. Text him.
I can't wait to see the ending of friggin' Aliens.
Yeah.
where Alex has his hindquarters probed by a giant alien.
Wait, is there really
a giant alien named Lamar?
This is his movie he's making, right? His low budget.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called? Aliens?
It's called Friggin' Aliens. Friggin' Aliens. Dude, I'm telling you, we're witnessing Alex's rise to fame. We're all going to be like, hey, remember when Alex was talking about friggin' aliens? Like, yeah, I'll be like, yeah, I can't believe he won Best Actor for that.
Like Entourage then? Is he going to bring us all to Hollywood and we're going to be like his buddies?
That would be pretty cool. Mm. Finally, I could do something important in this life.
Yeah, right. Like
get him his coffee.
Around.
Guard the door when he's in the room with his alien Lamar.
Well, you'll be sent out of Walgreens, won't you?
I really am excited for that movie.
So how excited about CES are you?
Pretty excited. It's going to be fun.
I know, yeah. Are you ready to do 8 videos and a podcast and 16 podcasts?
It's going to be a lot of work.
Do you have any lights?
Nothing portable.
Oh. Yeah. Well, hadn't we better get something?
I'm bringing a car. I could bring something for you, maybe. A
car?
You're showing a flashlight in
the
face.
Headlamps. Use the headlights.